Welcome to the podcast of Life Change Church, where we exist to love people to life change. We hope that this podcast is both challenging and encouraging to you. Enjoy the message.
All right. Well, hey, we're excited you're here. We are jumping into a new series entitled Conflict, and I love the way that many of you guys just saw that. As an Ohio State fan, when you saw the Michigan Garden, you're like, come on now, seriously? And then, if you're a Michigan fan, if you saw the Ohio State fan right over that, you're ready to leave because, man, it's instant conflict, right? And the truth is, we all experience conflict, right? Raise your hand if you've ever experienced conflict. Okay, everybody's hand should be up because the truth is, we all deal with conflict in one way or another. The truth is, we deal with conflict almost every single day. I mean, just think about it, right? Think about it for a minute. You probably experience conflict like the moment you leave church today, with the age-old question of, what are we going to eat? Where are we going to go? Right? Do we want to go home? I don't know. What do you want? Like, this, that conflict of going back and forth, right? You probably experience this every night when you decide kind of how to wind down. You're thinking like, okay, what do I want to do? Do I want to read a book, you know, and be smart and scholarly, you know, like advance myself? Do I want to read a book? Or do I want to just veg out and watch Netflix? Let's just be honest, right? We have that internal conflict that we deal with almost every single night that we go through. We think about that. We go through, and maybe if you're married or if you have kids, then obviously the conflict rises to like a whole nother level. You got to go through like, hey, who's going to get the kids off the bus today? Who's going to take them to swim lessons? Who's going to take them to baseball practice? Who's going to take them to their game? Who's going to do all these things? And then not only that, like, who's going to pay for all that stuff? It's crazy. It's not free. Nothing is free, right? So it's crazy we have to go through that, and you're thinking like, okay, that conflict, like, I'm going to have to give up my River Road coffee so that my kid can go to swim lessons this week, right? I have to give up my Starbucks to go and let my kid do something else, right? We have this conflict that we all internally wrestle with. And we really haven't even gotten to the fact that, you know, we have relationships. Like, every single day we actually have to talk to people. For most of us, we can't just go and become a hermit and just hide in a corner, but we actually have to talk with people. And I don't know about you, but sometimes you just wonder, why can't everybody just be like me? Because there's this conflict, there's disagreements that we have, there's sometimes arguments that we have, there's even sometimes fights that we have. Because conflict is really a way of life. Now, coming to church and being in a church, you'd probably expect for me to say, you know what, conflict is bad. But the truth is, I'm going to tell you the exact opposite today. Now, I'm not saying go look for conflict. I'm not saying go start up some conflict by any means, right? But I'm going to tell you that we need to learn from conflict. We need to deal with it. We need to sometimes even lean into it. And we need to deal with it correctly. Because the truth is, conflict is a byproduct of living. Really, conflict is the texture of the story of each and every one of our lives. Like, to be honest, without conflict, our lives would be a little bit on the boring side. Right? There wouldn't be much to share. There wouldn't be really areas of where we can grow. Right? If you're not in conflict in some way or another each day, you're probably not doing too much of anything. My wife likes to say, if you're not making somebody mad, you're not working. I don't necessarily go with all that, but the truth is, conflict really, it really determines who we are. Conflict is what makes us interesting. And the truth is, we all love stories with conflict, right? We love to hear a good story with conflict. I mean, think about the greatest stories that you tell. You know, the ones that you get your friends around, you'll be like, man, tell you what, this is what happened. It's revolving around some type of conflict. I mean, think about a movie. Why do we go to a movie? Because there's some type of conflict, there's some type of tension in that movie. If a movie had no conflict whatsoever, really what it would be, it'd be like an elaborate screensaver. I mean, think how boring it would be if there's nothing in there, there's no tension, there's nothing to keep our attention, right? It would be boring. And it'd be like if somebody was telling you the story that had no conflict in it whatsoever, it would be just a bunch of words strewn together. In fact, you've probably been around somebody who's told you a story like that, and you're thinking like, where is the point? How do I get out of this conversation? You're looking for the exit. You're thinking like, do they just keep talking and talking, right? Because it's just a bunch of words if there's no conflict. Without conflict, life is boring. There's no adventure, there's no risk, and there's no progress. Conflict is what drives us all. It's what drives growth. It's what drives change. And we experience conflict every single day of our lives. But what we do, and how we deal with it is what makes all the difference. Because conflict always presents us the opportunity to grow. When we're faced with conflict, what we're really looking at is an opportunity to grow. So for the next 2 weeks, this is what I want you to understand. This is what I want you to walk away with from this series, is that conflict always presents us with the opportunity to grow. So instead of running from it, instead of hiding from conflict, what we need to do is we actually need to lean into it. We need to learn from it a little bit, right? We need to deal with it, and we need to learn how to deal with it correctly. Because every area of growth that we ever experience goes back to us dealing with conflict in the correct manner. Conflict, if you think about it, it leads to us learning how to truly forgive. If you think about a conflict, leads to us learning how to truly trust others as well. If you think about a conflict is really the base of us learning how to respond correctly. And even conflict is really the base of our own maturity and how we deal with certain things, right? Conflict is the beginning of maturity, but only if we learn to respond in the correct way. And we're taught how to deal with conflict in a scripture here in Philippians 2, 14 through 16. So if you have your Bibles, go with me there to Philippians 2, 14 through 16. And as always, if you don't have a Bible, we have a resource for you. It's the Bible app. You can put it on your phone. You can put it on your tablet. You can take it with you wherever you go. And we even, if you follow us on social media, we put reading plans out there each week because we want you to read. We want you to follow along. We want you to read the Bible more than just on a Sunday. We're going to go in this verse for the next 2 weeks because it's really a powerful verse. And the whole reason this verse was written was actually talking about conflict. So this passage of scripture in Philippians, it's a letter that Paul is writing to the Philippians. And why Paul was writing this letter, Paul was actually in prison at this time. So talk about somebody who's going through some conflict. Here's Paul, and he's in the middle of his own conflict, right? But he's talking to the church in the Philippians, and he's telling them, you know what? It's time to deal with this correctly because the Philippians were under a lot of opposition. So Paul is writing and telling how to lean into conflict. This whole book and this whole letter is really talking about how to deal with hardship, deal with it with joy and strength instead of depression and retreat. And he's sharing with them, when we experience this, when we do this, we gain confidence in everything we're doing. We gain confidence to even proclaim the word of Jesus. And when we do this, we actually look like Jesus. When we do this, we actually develop the attitude of Jesus. Because if you look at what Jesus did, he died on a cross for each and every one of us. Right? Talk about some conflict, but he leaned into it. And because of that, we can have a relationship with God. And Paul is saying that when we lean into conflict, just like Jesus did, when we lean into that, we are transformed to become like Christ. And he says this in Philippians 2, 14 through 16. He says, do everything without grumbling or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky as you hold firmly to the word of life. Here's Paul, and he's saying, do everything without grumbling or arguing. For some of us, we're like checking out right there. Like, dude, it's so fun to grumble sometimes. It's so fun to argue sometimes. It's so fun to pick a fight. But he's saying, do everything without grumbling or arguing. And the reason is, when we do this, it allows us to grow. If we do everything without grumbling or arguing, really what happens is we become blameless and we become pure. Right? We're holding on firmly to the word of life. We're holding on firmly to who Jesus is. Dealing with conflict, when we deal with it this way, when we deal with it correctly, it really helps us rise above the issues that we're dealing with. It really helps us rise above the conflict itself. And it helps us become like stars so others see us. Again, you know when somebody's dealing with conflict and they deal with it in a way that represents Christ, you know what? Their lifestyle, it looks different. It's magnetic to others. People are really attracted to that. And we need to strive to do the exact same thing. And really, I think there's two types of conflict that we usually deal with, and we're going to dig into these two types of conflict over the next 2 weeks. There's the internal conflict, which really results in some grumbling, as the scripture states. And then there's the external conflict, which can often result in arguing. So next week, we're going to dig in. We're going to dive in to talk about arguing. We're going to dive in and talk a little bit about the external conflict, the conflict that we have with others. But today, what I want to do is I want to talk about this internal conflict. And it's really a conflict that many times we hold within. It's really a conflict that we really keep to ourselves, right? It's a conflict that we wrestle with internally. And it can eat away at us. It can eat away at us if we don't deal with it correctly. It's something for you, maybe there's a conflict, maybe it's a past thing that you hold against yourself. And this internal conflict, you see it rise up in a form of grumbling, but for many of us, it really rises up in a form of stress, rises up in a form of anxiety, of worry and regret. And the truth is, we've all experienced this. We all even have this internal conflict. You could be dealing with it right now. Like, we just got to be honest with ourselves. I mean, think about it. How many of you right now have experienced stress in your life? Each and every one of us, right? Some of you right now, you're stressed out because you're thinking of all the stuff that you have to do in order to go back to work tomorrow, right? You're thinking of all these things that you need to get done, and you're just stressed out about it. There's some people that are dealing with some anxiety right now. You're worried about, man, you know what? You're already out of money, and you're trying to figure out how are you going to make it till Friday when you get paid. There's this anxiety. You're thinking like, man, somebody's sick in your family. You're wondering about it, and you're just anxious about it, right? There's some of us that we really experience sleepless nights. Now, we've probably all been there, and this is this internal struggle that we have. This is this internal conflict. I remember adjusting to having kids. So we have two kids, a daughter who's 6 years old and a son who's 4 years old. And 6 years ago, my life completely changed with the birth of my daughter, and it completely changed in a way that meant, like, I no longer got to sleep, like, at all. And part of that was because, yeah, she woke up a lot, and then my wife, like, sleeps like a rock, but part of that was because she woke up, but part of that was really because, man, I had this anxiety, I had these sleepless nights because I really, like, wondered about how am I going to even deal with these kids, like, how am I going to do this? Like, it took me a while to realize that, you know what, they actually, like, let the kids go in our car with me and, like, at my house, and I was actually responsible for them. Now, it's kind of funny, I kind of told this story before, so when I graduated college, I moved into my house, and like I wasn't even in the greatest part of town, but like I wouldn't even lock the doors. I lived by myself at that time. I wouldn't even lock the doors. There was like no worry whatsoever. If somebody's going to come in and get something, you might as well make it easy for them. They don't want to break the lock. They can get there, whatever, right? And then I got married. So then my level of worry, my level of stress went a little bit higher. So I'm like, okay, well, I'm going to lock the doors now. So my wife's in there. I'm like, I feel like I actually have to protect her. I'm actually responsible for something else, right? So we locked our doors, and then I slept a little lighter. If I heard something, it would be crazy. There were some nights where, like, there were some bricks thrown through my neighbor's car windows. Again, it wasn't the greatest part of town, but so I'm waking up like, somebody's in our house. So I'm a little bit panicked. So I throw her on the ground and say, lay down there. I got this, right? There's a little panic there. And then once we had kids, whole nother level. Like, I'm talking, like, locked doors, like, triple-check the windows to make sure they're locked. We end up moving to a better neighborhood. We're all worried about stuff, thinking, like, dude, what's going on? And then, like, I have this anxiety, like, how am I going to protect them, right? And really, I struggled with this for a while. It was an internal conflict. It was something that I struggled with. And really, God put me in these places and really some uncomfortable moments to allow me to grow. Again, that conflict is an opportunity for growth. And here's what else I know. I know that you either have to own your conflict or it will own you. Own your conflict or it will own you. There were some years where I struggled with anxiety. And the truth is, this conflict was owning me. Another example of this is found in the Bible through a guy named Jacob. So we're going to go look at the story of Jacob. It's found in Genesis chapters 25 through 49. So if you guys want to open your Bibles, it's going to be a long read. Okay, we're not going to read it all, but I would challenge you to go back and read through this week. Maybe you've heard of Jacob, and if you've heard of Jacob, you probably actually heard some good things about him. You've probably heard people talk highly of him. But again, Jacob's name was also known as Israel, so he's like the father of all the Israelites. But the truth is, Jacob was a pretty messed up guy. Like, before he was blessed by God, Jacob was really a messed up guy. In fact, the name Jacob meant deceiver, which is exactly what he was. Jacob was a twin to this guy named Esau, and Jacob was the second born. So Esau, being the firstborn, he was allowed to have this birthright. He was guaranteed this blessing from his father. But what Jacob did, again, he's the deceiver. He tricked him out of both the birthright and the blessing. So Jacob really was a thief. He stole these things from his brother. Like, this is some pretty messed up stuff. In fact, because of this, Jacob actually fled from his brother Esau. He actually fled from his hometown at that time, and he was actually dealing with these decisions this whole time, and he did so somewhat internally. See, again, Jacob knew what his name meant. Jacob knew that he wronged his brother. And the truth is, this haunted him, right? It led to some stress in his life. It led to some anxiety in his life. It led to some sleepless nights. And especially led to this when he was about ready to confront his brother again in Genesis 32, 22 through 29, which is where we're going to pick up today. In this passage of Scripture, Jacob's fleeing from his father-in-law. Again, he did some crazy stuff there, and his wife did some stuff, so they're fleeing from their father-in-law, and they're going back to his hometown, and he's actually going back to meet his brother that he stole all this stuff from. So this is the moment where he's forced to actually face this conflict, where he's forced to deal with this conflict. And the night before he meets this brother, all this internal conflict comes to a head. So check out the story here, Genesis 32, 22 through 29. It says, "That night, Jacob got up and took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 sons, and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. After he had sent them across the stream, he sent over all his possessions. So Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him till daybreak. When the man saw that he could not overpower him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip, so that his hip was wrenched as he wrestled with the man. Then the man said, 'Let me go, for it's daybreak.' But Jacob replied, 'I will not let you go unless you bless me.' The man asked him, 'What's your name?' 'Jacob,' he answered. Then the man said, 'Your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with humans and have overcome.' Jacob said, 'Please tell me your name.' But he replied, 'Why do you ask my name?' Then he blessed him there." If you look at this story, here's Jacob. He's a guy that's known what he's done in the past, right? He's carrying his past with him. And then he's left alone. The truth is, this is really where we deal with our internal conflicts, right? When we're left alone. See, we can cover up things that we've done. We can cover up all our insecurities. We can cover up all our struggles. We can cover up all our sins when we have others around us or when we become so busy and we're just going through the motions of everything. But there comes a point where we have to face it. There comes a point when we're completely left alone. And really, this is where Jacob finds himself. But what I love about this story is this. What I love about this story is Jacob's tenacity. I think we can learn so much from his willingness to fight, from his willingness to confront it, from his willingness to never give up, right? He really committed to wrestling like all night long. And not only that, he was committed to getting a blessing from God. Truth is, Jacob wanted to overcome his issues. He wanted to overcome all these struggles that he had inside him, right? He had this desire to move on. He had this desire to own it. And the truth is, we need to get to that same place in our lives. We need to get to the same place where we have this desire to move on from our struggles, to move on from our eternal conflict, or to really own it. We need to confront it, and we need to own it. Own your conflict, or it will own you. Problem is, too many times I think we're just not willing to fight. Too many times I think really we're not willing to move forward. We're not willing to ask for a blessing. Because we don't think we deserve it, right? Because we don't think we can even ask for a blessing. We don't think we're good enough, right? We're caught up with this guilt. We're caught up with this remorse. We're caught up with this regret. And instead of taking our issues to God, what we do with is we get caught up in denial. And instead of facing our conflict, instead of owning our conflict, what we do is we end up really pushing it down within ourselves. We end up running it from it. Or even worse, sometimes we even try to cover it up. There's times we try to cover this up with medication. We cover this up with some type of substance abuse. We cover this up with maybe the abuse of food. We eat our sorrows away. What we're doing, though, is we're neglecting who God created us to be. We're neglecting our physical bodies. We're neglecting our emotional bodies. We're neglecting our spiritual bodies as well. And it leads to depression. It leads to seclusion. It leads to us really to a place where God never intended us to be. I think too many times we have this mentality of defeat. And we internalize this conflict. And we internalize these lies. We internalize these lies that the devil keeps telling us over and over and over again. And we believe it's who we are. But understand this. If your internal conflict goes back to a failure, that failure is not who you are. Failure is not a person, it's an event. And you are not a failure. Yeah, you may have had some failures in your life, but it's not who you are. It's not your identity. So don't give up. If you look at Jacob, he didn't give up. Right? He pressed on and he fought till daybreak. He was in it for the long haul. Sure, he had issues. Yes, he had tons of failures. In fact, if you look at Jacob, he would give us all a run for our money when we list out our failures over, right? In fact, he would make many of us, he'd make us look like a saint. But if you look at what he did, he owned his struggles. He owned his issues. Again, in verse 27, he was asked his name, and he didn't hide it. He didn't fake it. He didn't brush it under the rug. He didn't lie about it. He owned it. And the result was that he was changed. The result was him confessing his actions. It was confessing what he was, and he became something different, right? His identity was changed. They were no longer his name. In fact, his name changed to Israel. His name changed from deceiver to overcomer. And he grew to become nations blessed by God. This is what happens when we handle conflict in the correct way. When we handle conflict in the correct way, we are changed. Imagine no longer being defined by your past. Imagine having a healthy self-image of yourself. Imagine having some self-confidence. Imagine being an overcomer in your life. Imagine moving past the things that have been holding you back for all these times. Imagine in your relationships. Imagine that maybe instead of going from the outcast, instead of going from the person that you feel like, man, others don't like, what if you went to the people that where you were able to walk in faith and to walk with what God has for you? Imagine if you were able to grow and move on in humility. When we own our conflict, we experience the true grace and the true mercy of God. Imagine experiencing that in your life. Imagine experiencing the things in our life that we don't deserve. That's grace. And imagine not experiencing the things in life that we do deserve. Again, that's mercy. And when we lean into our conflicts, when we deal with them, when we own them, we experience this through Christ. Jesus came and lived a perfect life because none of us could. Then he died on a cross, but it didn't end there. He was risen again to make us blameless and pure. Own your conflict or it will own you. And here's how we do this. Here's how we apply this to our lives, and here's how we own our conflict. Number one is we never give up. Never give up. There's a person in this congregation who each week they fill out their response card. And the thing that they write there says, God is asking them to. Each week, they write, never give up. And every time I read that, man, I'm so encouraged by it. It's an amazing thing because it's so powerful and it's so true. And the fact is, God is asking each and every one of us to never give up. So own your conflict. Let me encourage you to never give up. Again, if you look at what Jacob did. Again, if you go back to verse 24, it says, Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him till daybreak. When the man saw that he could not overpower him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip so that the hip was wrenched as the man wrestled with God. Then the man said, let me go, for it is daybreak. You look at this. Jacob wrestled with this guy all night long. Jacob wrestled with God all night long. In fact, if you look at the scholars, say who this man is, scholars believe that this is Jesus showing up in the Old Testament. So if you think about this, here's Jacob, and he's wrestling with Jesus. He's wrestling with Jesus so that he can be closer to God. He's wrestling with Jesus for the blessing that only Jesus can give, and he's never going to give up. Think about the determination of Jacob at this point, right? He had no quit in him. He wasn't going to give up. He was even hurt. It says that his hip was knocked out of socket. Talk about never giving up, right? Talk about playing. This is like Michael Jordan's flu game, right? This is what Jacob is doing right here, right? For many of you this week, maybe for you to never give up is to stop sweeping that issue under the rug. Maybe for you, maybe it's to address that sin that you've struggled with, that you know you've done, but you've never really confessed to. Go ahead and do it. Never give up. Maybe for you, maybe it's you to dream again. Maybe there's some dreams that you've given up on. Listen, never give up. Maybe for you, it's to pray again. Maybe there's some things that you've been praying for, some friends, some family that you've been praying for to find Jesus, and you're thinking like, man, when's this going to happen? Listen, never give up. Continue to pray. Continue to love. Continue to invite, and never give up. There may be an area in your life where you feel like you're a failure. There may be an area in life where you feel like your failures define you. There may be an area in your life where you feel like that failure squashed your dream of what you want to become. But never give up, because your failure is not who you are. Your story is not over. Your family's story is not over. Again, Jacob turned to Israel, the father of nations upon nations that were blessed by God. His family's story was not over because he was willing to never give up. It's just the beginning. And God can use what the devil meant for bad. He can use it for good. So never give up. Number two is to strive for change. To not give up means that we probably need to be striving for something better, right? We need to strive for change. Jacob did this really by requesting, and if you really look at it, really by demanding God to bless him. Right? Talk about some just being bold about some things. Jacob did this. He said, he replied, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." Are we striving for things in our life with boldness? Are we striving for change in our life with boldness? Think about it. What's some things in your life? What's some areas in your life that you need to change? Are you actually bringing that to God? Are you actually coming to him with some boldness and saying, "God, bless me in this. God, help me change. Help me to accomplish this." Like, are you bringing God in that strive for change? Maybe for you that change is a break in an addiction, right? Maybe for you it's an addiction to a substance. Maybe it's an addiction to pornography. Maybe it's an addiction to food. And you just need God's help in it. And you need to strive to change in that. Maybe for you it's a change in your attitude. Maybe for you, every time you think about something, you see the worst in people, or you see the worst outcome, you see the worst scenario, and that's what your mindset is always like. Maybe you need to invite God to strive for change and to strive for a positive attitude. Whatever it is, make it a matter of prayer and invite God into the journey. Invite even a close friend into the journey as well to keep you accountable, but strive for change. And then number three is to admit who you were. Admit who you were. And notice I'm using the past tense here. Your past is not your present. Your past is not your future. But it prepares you for your present, and it prepares you for your future. So you have to admit who you were. We have to admit our past to move past it. Again, if you look at Jacob, he did this. Said God asked Jacob this. He says, the man asked him, "What is your name?" Jacob, he answered. Jacob was truthful. He was honest about who he was. He was honest that, you know what? His name is Jacob. He was a deceiver. But God changed everything because he is willing to admit. What's your past? Who were you? Admit it. The truth, it's a part of your life. Don't hide it. Don't deny it, but admit it. Listen, you have nothing to change from. If you have nothing to change from, you have nothing to change. So it's time to get real with God. It's time to get real with ourselves as well. This week, I want you to take some time, and I want you to confess, to admit who you were. James 5:16 says, "Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is a powerful and effective." Confession leads to healing. So admit your hidden sins. Admit your hidden secrets. Admit those hidden struggles that you have, that's your internal conflict. Take some time this week and pray and confess. Maybe even take some time this week and even confess to a close, trusted friend as well. Admit who you were. And then finally, number four is to accept the new. Accept the new. You were made new through Jesus Christ. You are a new creation. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone and the new is here." But we have to accept it. We have to accept the new. We have to accept all that Christ has done for us. Before God left Jacob, Jacob had to accept his new name. And Jacob's new name was Israel. He was given this new name. He went from being a deceiver to an overcomer. And the truth is, you have a new name as well. Each one of you, you have a new name. But it's time to accept it.
Thank you for listening to the Life Change Church podcast. If you are here today and you're listening and you made a decision to follow Christ, we would love to hear about it. Or maybe you're here and you're listening and that God is asking you to make the next step with whatever that it is in your life. We would love to hear about it and partner up with you. If you would, go to www.lifechangechurch.com. mylifechangedchurch.com, and under the media section, please fill out the contact us information. And let us know if you made a decision to follow Christ. Let us know what God is asking of you. And if you need prayer, we would love to partner up with you in prayer as well. We hope that you enjoyed the podcast and that it both encouraged and challenged you. Have a great week.